KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin today in Ventura County, where a fire has exploded overnight due to strong Santa Ana winds. Some 27,000 people have been ordered to evacuate the area. 150 structures have burned, over 31,000 acres. As reporter Stephanie O'Neill tells us, the fire began around the city of Ojai.
I first got alerted to the fire at 12:30 this morning from phone calls. When I stepped out my front door, I saw this ominous orange glow to the east of me, and that's the area of town known as the Upper Ojai. It's a big valley of ranches, and that is under mandatory evacuation because the flames have been racing through it. My first stop was the evacuation center at the high school near my house to check on my cousins who fled the fire, and then I stopped by the barn to check on my two horses who were about 3 miles east of me and much closer to the fire. And at that point, I could see the flames on the hill right above them, just big flames devouring probably oak trees. It was dark, so it was tough to see what it was burning. But the strong winds at that point were pushing the fire away from Ojai into the city of Ventura, where it's still raging out of control.
That's reporter Stephanie O'Neill. We're going to follow that fire line and go to Ventura to talk with KCLU's Lance Orozco, who joins us from Ventura. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, John.
What do you see right now in front of you?
Well, I'm in downtown Ventura, and first of all, we're starting to see that, you know, the sun has started to come up, but it is dark here because the power is out. The power's been out for much of Ventura County and part of southern Santa Barbara County as well for much of the night because of the fire itself. And as I look up the hill here near Ventura City Hall, I can actually see a house, what's left of the house, burning. I can see a couple of palm trees that are on fire. And it's kind of a mixed view because I see some people kind of getting up and going to work and realizing, whoa, what did I miss last night? And other people, you know, are very cognizant of what's happened because, you know, a lot of people got no sleep overnight.
Do you know of any alert system that was activated to let people know that this fire was coming in your area?
Yes. I mean, there's a system called VC Alert that they use, and it uses a reverse 911 and uses text messages, and they use that system to notify people, and they use it to alert us as well. You know, a lot of the media are on the system as well, so we get alerted, and we also know that they're using the system. And then, of course, the local radio and TV stations were on the air as well, updating people on the situation.
Including KCLU, which I know you're doing a lot of double duty, so we're very pleased that you can take a few moments and join us. It's pretty amazing that these stations are on the air in the first place, because there are at least 200,000 people who are in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties without power.
Well, the way it works is basically the fire started, as Stephanie talked, between Ojai and Santa Paula, and it burned 10 or 11 miles towards Ventura. It burned through a mountain range, and there's some high capacity power lines that run through those mountains. And I saw some aerial live footage around 11 o'clock last night, where we could see just huge flames around those towers, and undoubtedly some of those lines were damaged by the fire.
KCLU's Lance Orozco joining us from Ventura. Lance, thanks. Stay safe.
Thank you.
And we'll, of course, be monitoring the fires as developments continue right here on the California Report. We're going to move on now to politics. The Republican tax bill making its way through Congress will likely hit California hard. In fact, yesterday, Governor Jerry Brown called the bill, quote, a cynical maneuver that will further divide the nation. KQED's politics editor Scott Schaefer reports.
In a conference call with New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New Jersey's governor-elect, Brown had harsh words for the tax bill, calling it stupid and dangerous.
We need to come together. This bill will divide the blue states from the red, the Democrats from the Republicans. It is evil in the extreme.
While the final version of the bill is yet to be worked out, it's likely to at least limit the ability of taxpayers to deduct state and local taxes from their IRS returns and also severely limit the amount of deductions for interest paid on home mortgages. Both those provisions would slam states like California with high taxes and home costs. Brown said the bill makes income inequality worse, adding that it undermines the nation. Republicans who support the plan say it'll stimulate the economy and simplify the tax code. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
We're going to go now to Sacramento, where a lobbyist has named Southern California Assemblyman Matt DeBobney as the man she alleges assaulted her in a bathroom last year. At a press conference yesterday, a second woman said she'd also been sexually harassed by the Democratic lawmaker. Here's KQED's Katie Orr.
Lobbyist Pam Lopez says in 2016, she and Bob Ney were both celebrating two mutual friends' wedding in Las Vegas. Lopez says she went to the restroom and DeBobney followed her. She says he pushed her inside, locked the door, and began masturbating. Lopez says fear of retaliation initially kept her from naming DeBobney, but she changed her mind following recent assurances from lawmakers that she and others who spoke out about harassment in the Capitol community would be protected. Lopez says she also wanted to keep other women safe.
I can't have it on my conscience that this may happen again. I've heard from enough women that I am fearful and I am worried that this will happen to others.
A second woman, Jessica Yez Barker, now on the board of the San Fernando Valley Young Democrats, says DeBobney repeatedly harassed her while she worked at a congressional office with him in 2008.
On more than one occasion, I had to listen to him regale me with stories of his sexual prowess. At events or fundraisers, he would eye up women in the room and talk about his conquests, who he'd slept with, who wanted to sleep with him.
DeBobney couldn't be reached for comment. In a written statement, he denies the incident with Lopez took place. He said, "I am saddened by this lobbyist's effort to create this falsehood." He added he looks forward to clearing his name. For the California Report, I'm Katie Orr in Sacramento.
Let's go down to Kern County, which is embroiled in a lawsuit over how the political boundaries to elect county supervisors were drawn. KQED's Vanessa Roncagno tells us more about the case that goes to trial this afternoon.
The lawsuit claims that when Kern County redrew its supervisorial districts in 2011, they violated the Federal Voting Rights Act. Attorney Tanya Pellegrini with the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, or MALDEF, says the new lines illegally dilute the power of Latino voters.
Latino candidates will never get elected in this district because the eastern part will not support them.
Pellegrini and fellow attorney Denise Hewlett will be arguing in court that the districts drawn in 2011 violate the law. Here's Hewlett.
What they have done is made insured that the Latino community in those areas are now, half of them are a minority in District 1, and the other half are a minority in District 4.
MALDEF attorneys believe these districts can be drawn without disadvantaging Latinos. But Kern County's attorney Mark Nation says that's not the point.
That's not how you do this.
Nation says more than just race and ethnicity need to be considered.
When you're drawing districts, you need to have communities within those districts that share certain things beyond just ethnic makeup.
In any case, new districts will be drawn in 2021, but the courts will decide if they need to be redrawn before that. For the California Report, I'm Vanessa Rancagno in Fresno.
As you heard here last month, the San Joaquin County Sheriff is being accused of abusing his office to influence death investigations, including hiding evidence in order to shield law enforcement officers. KQED's Julie Small has an update and a warning. The story is graphic.
The county's chief forensic pathologist, Dr. Bennett Omalu, is alleging a pattern of abuse in which the sheriff has interfered with his work and disregarded the findings of autopsies. The nationally recognized pathologist wrote notes detailing his concerns about Sheriff Coroner Steve Moore. He wrote that the sheriff had withheld information, and in three cases involving people who died either in custody or during arrest, Moore certified the death as an accident instead of a homicide, as Omalu believes the medical findings indicated. The sheriff does whatever he feels like doing as the coroner, in total disregard of bioethics, standards of practice of medicine, and the generally accepted principles of medicine, Omalu wrote in an August memo presented to the county administration yesterday. The county district attorney said her office is looking into the allegations. Omalu's colleague, Dr. Susan Parson, quit her job with the county last week, saying she had lost faith in the ability to work independently. Both doctors declined to be recorded for this story, but asked Patricia Hernandez with the Union of American Physicians and Dentists to speak for them.
If this was something that was made public, I think that many citizens would question it and would demand change.
Sheriff Moore is an elected official, and as in 49 other counties, he serves as both the top law enforcement officer and the county coroner. He denies the claim that he meddled in forensic investigations. As coroner, I have not interfered. I've never changed any cause of death, he told KQED yesterday. Moore also declined to be recorded. He said determining cause of death, what killed a person, is the purview of the forensic pathologist. By law, his job as the coroner is to determine the manner, whether the death is an accident, a homicide, a suicide, a result of natural causes, or undetermined. Moore said, I do that based on the totality of the circumstances, up to and including the autopsy report provided by the doctor and the investigative report done by the coroner's investigators. But Drs. Omalu and Parson alleged the sheriff's department kept them from visiting crime scenes to gather information needed for independent analysis, then didn't turn over investigatory reports. Again, Pat Hernandez.
It's very important for the sheriff to be transparent and to provide the information that the doctors need. Otherwise, they cannot conduct their work.
In one of the more graphic details, the doctors both complained about a sheriff sergeant who went behind their backs and ordered forensic technicians to cut the hands off at least five bodies for fingerprinting, something they said is done only rarely for badly decomposed bodies. The sheriff told us his department needed to send the hands to a special lab for help with identification, but the doctor said it was not necessary in these cases. Omalu went so far as to claim systematic bias, flaws, and corruption, and he alleges the sheriff failed to share some key evidence in the case of a father who died after a police chase.
It was only reported that he was tased twice, and in reality, he was tased 31 times. There's a big difference in that, and I'm not sure how that can be overlooked or swept under a carpet like it was.
I'll have more on that part of the story tomorrow. For the California Report, I'm Julie Small.
Support for the California Report comes from Collective Health. Through technology, design, and human support, Collective Health offers companies and their people a new way to experience health benefits. CollectiveHealth.com. Personal Capital, offering online financial tools to manage and track accounts from investments to retirement planning. Personal Capital, serving over 1 million people at PersonalCapital.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
Southern California Edison says 180,000 customers in Ventura County and 83,000 customers, electric customers in Santa Barbara are without power. We'll have the latest on the fires every hour right here on the California Report. I'm John Sepulveda.